I love Chicago as a city, and I really want to go back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just didn't enjoy the marathon.
You won a big ultra in Jordan. You are a madman. Rocks up to the desert thinking he's hot stuff, just passes out.
So bait, and it got 500k views. So bait.
That cookie thing was unbelievable. That was so good. I feel like I've just been depleted of calories because I couldn't eat for afterwards for ages. Really? Anyway, welcome back. We're going. Hugo, welcome back to the show, brother.
I was about to make the most inappropriate joke and then thought,
first 30 seconds, please hold off.
Yeah, YouTube, yeah.
No, I just thought I'd say, based on the success of the last one, I thought, why not have this wonderful man every month? So what we're going to do, Hugo and I are going to sit down and just have like a catch up once a month, if that's all right with you.
I guess. Yeah, I've got to fill my time these days.
We need to work out some sort of financial compensation, but at the moment I lose money, so
it's
quite tricky.
I don't make any, so
yeah, I'm just losing. I
honestly, every day people are like, how are you funding this? And I'm like, I'm not.
I'm funding to the end of the month and then we'll see.
It's called an Amex.
Mate, it's so true. What an invention, by the way.
Oh, what, the credit card? Just in general?
Just the idea of paying for stuff without your own money. But
it's unbelievable, isn't it? Like, what a con.
Genuinely, I reckon like this whole week, obviously extremely fortunate, my flights and accommodation were paid for.
See, that's what I'm not there yet.
You definitely are. I just think
I don't get invited to events.
Yeah, I've established this. You don't have your email in your bio.
Yeah.
I said, oh, Hugo, why can't I see your email on your page? It's like, oh, I haven't got one, to be fair.
I don't. I just have my personal one, which I set up in 2010.
But where are you getting emails? Because actually a brand emailed you. We won't say the name of them, but it's fucking hilarious. A brand emailed you, which I'd already like replied to, like from mine, saying, this is an email directed for Callum Goddard.
Yeah. And then, no, it just said, hi, Callum. And then like maybe 30 seconds later, I got like such a panicked email being like, disregard Callum's name. It's for Hugo. I was like, the damage is done. Yeah. Still funny. I still want the pair of shoes.
Yeah, exactly. So, welcome back, man. I just thought we'd sort of sit down today and chat about.
No way. Did you do Chicago Marathon?
If you haven't, I've got UVU merch on as well.
I'm not a UVU guy. I've never really been, but
I think you could pull it off though.
Their Chicago Marathon stuff was good.
It was also nice.
Like, I don't really know the rules around. I work with sports shoes.
Oh, nah, I'd be fine.
It's more like they don't really sell it.
Yeah. Mm. Surely anything that they sell and like, let's say Pro Direct sells is the issue.
No, it's more like, what is the issue? I don't really know. It's just like, I can work with anyone if they're not a retailer, but it's more like if they don't sell it, in there on
but does
their
that
store.
Does that mean then you can't wear any other clothing then, apart from stuff they sell?
I don't know. I never asked the question. Mm. I usually ask them if like a brand specifically reaches out to me around clothing or anything like that. I just like email them.
Because UVU are just like I would say they're just the kind of...
They're a brand.
They're a brand rather than a seller.
Yeah, exactly. You know so I should be able to because their kit is...
This is really nice. Although, all I will say is I bought the t-shirt. And I think I could be wrong, but the t-shirt was very thin. And I thought, and for the price that you pay for that t-shirt, it should be like a nicer quality.
You're a man who likes the holy t-shirt.
No, I don't like that holy t-shirt. It was the biggest waste of money.
It's not
ever.
About God hair. It's about you look like
the moth tech.
The moth tech.
Yeah.
Sorry, like,
it's the biggest load of bollocks ever.
What is that meant to do?
And before you say comment saying there's your Satisfy brand deal gone, they were never going to work with me.
Definitely never going to work with me either. So
they are never going to work with me. I don't have enough tattoos and I'm not from California. So
and I'm not cool enough. My page is
That's not an indirect Zach Jaloff. Zach Jaloff? Max Jaloff, by the way.
Also, like, I'm just, my page is not that vibe.
Yeah.
You know, but that NFL guy.
Yeah, can you explain this? Because you messaged me this morning. I was really confused because your screenshot was a different comment to what you sent a screenshot of a guy who's a different guy.
No, that's the same guy.
No,
what?
You sent a screenshot from a guy called Stewie Walker. So shout out Stewie if you're listening. And then it was like him agreeing with you.
Yeah.
And then you sent a picture of an NFL guy who's called something completely different.
Really?
Yeah.
I was quite drunk. It was this morning. I wasn't drunk. I was just hungover.
Could have still been drunk.
Oh, maybe it was because I commented on that guy's, the NFL guy's.
Oh.
I thought he had listened to the pod and be like, that's mad.
You were drunk, weren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I did have quite a lot of wine last
so
night
this guy
at a Tilda event.
This guy doesn't even follow me or like listen to the pod.
I just thought it was wild that an NFL player listened to our pod, but I don't think he does. That's a shame. I was excited.
Right.
Yeah.
As in he commented on a clip that was from our pod.
No, I commented on his page.
Yeah.
About something, about the influencer stuff, about gifting.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because he made a post about it.
Yeah.
Got you.
Yeah. Because he got places at, you know what, his take was really good. This NFL player, his name is...
Because runner, follow him.
Called, yeah. Isaac. Is it Isaac? Yeah.
I don't know. Isaac. I'm
Isaac here. Rochelle.
Okay.
7-year NFL vet. Like he's a good player. And he did, basically he was like, I'm an NFL player. I'm an athlete.
Yeah.
But like marathons, different gravy. He was like, people do not respect them enough.
No.
They're hard.
But and I think...
that's coming from an NFL player, which was cool.
Yeah, that is really cool because obviously when you're at top of physical fitness and then you like, I get so to speak, get humbled by something, it's quite a cool thing to hear and from another athlete.
I know he was like a linebacker, I think. Like he's a big dude.
Yeah.
He did like a 4-and-a-bit-hour marathon.
Yeah.
And he was like, that's slow. Like, and I think his point was, so it is kind of annoying seeing influencers get them because they just don't really like...
I don't think it is that though. I think there's an element because like every time, and I'm not just saying this because I respect them and I've always made that communication clear to my audience. I just think there is such a saturation now of like us content creators doing them that the people following therefore get desensitized to it.
Yeah,
so I don't necessarily think it's the individual creator being desensitized to it and dumbing it down. Mm. I think it's more the fact that so many people see a wide variety that they kind of naturally are desensitized.
Oh, it's really easy and then I'll be able to do it.
But yeah, man, Chicago.
Yeah, so tell us about how you got humbled.
Yeah, bro. I was going out for 3:15.
But hey, look, a PB is a PB.
Exactly. And when I crossed that line, I laughed. I said, I've shithoused this.
Yeah.
I've somehow got a 32-second PB on the worst of days. I walked, I had a beer. It was just an absolute... like, it was a day for it, mate.
When did it when was that moment where you were like, oh, I'm in trouble?
Oh, 10K. No, not 10K. But 10K, I realised we could be touch and go here.
Also, I'm not going to lie. I can't comment on this. Like, I'm not, there's no criticism here. You went out way too hot.
You reckon, mate?
I looked at your pace prediction because I love when it's like, and it said, I think it was a 306 or a 308.
Oh, it did, yeah.
And I just went, you mug. Like, I know, like, I was like, I know what shape you're in. And I was like, you're not there.
I'm not in 306
you're
shape.
You're not in 306 shape.
I saw the funniest message afterwards because obviously I had my phone on Do Not Disturb. So I didn't get anything through my headphones or anything like that. Fuck having that. But I had a message off Izzy into our group chat with her brother and his wife going, Cal is running so fast. And then her brother goes, smashing it. Is he going for 3 hours? I was like, right, I must have really gone out way too hot.
Yeah, you did.
But you know what they say? We flew too close to the sun.
And I do it every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's important for people to realize that everyone does it.
And it's my first time ever doing that though, because I'm, you know, fucking, I'm, who would Horrid Henry's brother, Perfect Peter?
Oh, yeah.
I'm always that, I'm proper like 4:42, I'm really strict. And as well, in Paris, having Jake with me, he like made sure that I was like not doing anything above my station.
Yeah.
Today I was on my, like this weekend I was on my own.
Yeah.
And I had no one to kind of just say, look, chill out.
Yeah.
But the biggest issue I found, and anyone that ran Chicago this year or last year or whenever, you might have experienced the same thing. The GPS in the first 10K is dog shit.
Oh, it's wild.
It's so hard. So
it's like Canary Wharf.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So out the blocks, I didn't know what pace I was going and I was just having to go off feel. I knew that I was going correct-ish when I clicked the first 5K in 22 minutes, like flat, but I should have done it in 22:40. So I was like 40 seconds ahead in the first 5K. And then 10K, I was pretty much bang on pace, I would say.
Yeah.
But that bang on pace, like 4:30s, in my head made so much more sense before the race. I really should have just tried to like drag it, like get into the race slower and start at like 4:40s and build into it. But my logic is I can never get that pace back later in the race. So yeah, 15K, I realized the dream was dead pretty much.
15K?
No. That's a massive lie. 15K, it was in the balance.
Yeah.
And then I was like, but I don't feel good. So I was like, I'm still in the mix here.
What was it? Body or like just kind of
I don't know.
Aerobically or?
It was weird because I definitely am fitter than I was in Paris.
Yeah.
And obviously I got a quicker time, but still, like, it's weird. I knew the fitness was there, but my biggest issue was, I think I didn't do any race pace practice plus 30K. So in Paris build, I did like 4x5K
yeah.
in a 32K block.
Mm.
And in this one, because I did Copenhagen half, which was entirely at race pace, I then just essentially...
But it's not like you did warm up, cool down in that, did you? It's not like you did, went like 35, 36K in that run. It was just 21, right?
It was just 21.
Yeah.
So then that was like obviously my like big race pace block.
Yeah.
And then my 32K, which is easy.
Yeah, it's probably that, to be honest. Like,
yeah. I know where I went wrong.
Yeah.
So
because yeah, I did it in 22 Chicago.
What sort of time did you do it in?
I mean, I was a bit of a mug, to be fair. I did.
You being a mug in a race, who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
So not yet. I did London the week before.
Oh.
And I got 2:33.
Because London was COVID year, wasn't it, where they moved it to October.
So I did 22, I did London. And I did that in 2:33.
Jesus.
And then I did Chicago the week after in 2:42.
Okay.
I just remember, you know what? Everyone tells me, I want to go back because everyone tells me that it was like such immaculate vibes. Like Chicago's
mate,
great.
It was incredible.
Yeah. It was just a bad year, I think. It was so dead. There was no one on course.
Mm.
It was just a bad atmosphere. It was so windy. I know it's called the Windy City, but
it's not because of the wind.
It's because it's corruption,
yeah.
Isn't it?
It's something to do with the financial affairs of the country.
Yeah.
We had a boat tour and guys said it and I can't remember what he said.
But and I love Chicago as a city and I really want to go back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just didn't enjoy the marathon and I feel like it would be, I know, and this is so stupid, I know I've just done Berlin, I've just come back from a desert ultra.
Yeah.
I shouldn't get FOMO, but I was watching it on Sunday and I was like, oh, I want to do it. So I want to be there.
That's how I know you're addicted to the game.
I want to hurt myself today. I was seeing everyone like getting absolutely mad times and like, I was like, oh my God, I want to do this so badly. Like, I'm so angry. I'm so rattled right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like watching everyone, tracking everyone. And I was just like, I had the roguest people I was tracking. I've never met these people, but I was like, oh my God, go X. Like, this is unbelievable. You're killing it, queen. Like, what am I doing? What did you do on Sunday? Oh, I just like lay there in my bed and just
refreshing.
Yeah.
Chicago Marathon.
Yeah. Also like some hate watching and you're just watching.
Were you?
Yeah, of course. Everyone does it. And you're just like, when are they going to fool? Oh, they're not fooling. Oh my God, I really want them to fall.
And the one you didn't want to fall fell
so hard.
Yeah.
I was sending you a message like halfway through, being like, you're flying. And I was talking to Izzy, being like, he's doing so well. And then she messaged me after that video. She messaged me being like, oh, he says he's fucked. And I was like, don't worry. He's got it. You know, everyone has a wobble. And I was like, where in the race are you? Like, when's he said this? And
it was 30K.
And it was 28.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh,
and I was like,
rough.
And I was like, dizzy. I was like, oh no, don't worry.
But
it's
you
fine.
Knew.
I knew. I was like, that's way too soon. 36, fine. You can say that at 36. You can't be saying that at 28.
Mate, okay, so let me just quickly talk you through my splits real quick. So I was absolutely fine, like up until the 23K mark. And that's when I was holding 4:30. But the thing is, as well, I got a 30K PB of 2:15. So I average 4:31 for 30K.
That's class.
I know. But if only I'd spread it out a bit better, I could have probably like gone sub 3:20, I think.
That's the issue. It's like, because you say like you average 3:30, but your first 5K was probably like...
It was like 4:18, 4:21.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That just burns you. Your heart rate spikes too high.
Yeah.
And then it's hard to like recover.
So the first 23K was to the plan.
Yeah.
Okay. And then 24K, we dropped to 4:42. And I think the 4:41 is then the quickest we get to for the remainder of the race until the final 800 meters where I ran like a 4-minute K.
So what I've found is that I'll be running along. It'll get to, like I had this at Berlin and London where I'll be running at a pace and being like, this is quite tough. I'm like, maybe I'm going a bit quick. Like,
yeah.
Maybe I'll check my watch to like, because I don't check my watch at all.
No. You just know your speed.
Yeah, and I kind of get a feel and like I run to feel.
And also you with your paces, your impacts for the start of it to get the pace.
Yeah, but like I, so then I was like, I think Berlin, I got to like 28, okay. And I was like, oh, this is feeling tough. I'm sure this is like near race pace. And then I looked at my watch and it's like 10 seconds off. And I was like, oh, I'm in trouble here. Because the effort felt like I was running what I should be running. Yeah. And I was so far off. And that is when I know, like, oh, we're done.
Yeah.
That's when I'm like,
Game over, baby.
It's going to be a long game, set, and match. It's going to be a long journey.
Yeah, I think the slowest kilometer I did was 5:58. At 40K.
That's quite slow.
Yeah. And considering my goal race pace was 4:30, that's a tough one to take.
Yeah.
But the thing is as well, so I just say, just to give you context of how hot I went out, I have no heart rate on when I'm racing. I've got my monitor on, so I know it's an accurate representation to look at after the race. My heart rate at kilometer two was 180.
Yeah, that's...
problem.
Yeah.
That's a tough. Huge problem.
For the first kilometer.
I stayed in 180s until 9K.
Yeah.
That's obviously going to just...
That just burns you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just don't want to be that kind of... That's like LT1, no, two level.
So then my heart rate was like high 170s for most of the race. I think I averaged 176. Yeah, that's a long old day, bro. But you know what? I learned so much from that race and I learned so much about myself. And I think I put this in my Instagram caption last night. Like for me... The fact that I had to settle with that time, which was a 30-second PB, and that time felt like a complete pipe dream in Paris in April. Like, it was a complete, like, me getting a 3:23 when I was going for sub 3:30 in April was just like, whoa, I did that. Yeah. Whereas on Sunday, I'm like, I'm not disappointed, but I'm like, I know that that doesn't represent my progress. Yeah. But I also think it does, though, because I'm disappointed by that time. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I obviously commented after a couple of glasses of wine, got emotional. But like, but I like my point. I don't think I probably like. So it's hard to write in a comment.
Yeah.
But like, some of my best achievements are not from PBs.
Yeah.
Like I had an amazing run to get a 2:19, but I don't. That was a really. That felt easy. You know, I love every marathon to go like that.
Yeah.
But I'm probably more proud of how I got through Berlin this year.
Yeah.
When I knew, I think it shows someone's character when you know you're not going to PB. You've kind of, it's not wasted, but you put all this training in and you know you're not going to get what you want.
Exactly.
But to still carry on and go through and like actually finish, sometimes you should be more proud of that. And you always hear this, but the 42.2K you ran on Sunday is a reflection of the day.
Yeah.
It's not a reflection of the whole training block. It's not a reflection of how fit you are.
My performance to like basically crash out like that is a slight reflection of my training, because I did miss some key sessions.
Yeah.
And I did have some moments where I definitely wasn't as strong physically as I was before Paris.
You had other priorities.
Yeah.
But like, that's fair.
Yeah. I just think this last 7 weeks, I came off the back of the half Ironman, gave myself like 2 weeks off, and then went back into like a 7.5-8 week marathon blog. It wasn't exactly like the best of builds. And I think that was always going to happen.
I honestly don't. This is the first time I'm just like, I've always done a lot of events.
Yeah.
But not like at the moment, I'm just like, back to back to back doing things. And I know it's pathetic. I have a great life. I get it. Like, I understand my privilege.
Yeah.
But like the last week, I got back on Sunday and then like Monday, Tuesday, I've just felt like dead.
You do need to be careful with burnout and stuff, because like you do burn out. And like, obviously it's, you know, it's an incredible privilege, but you still can burn out.
Yeah, so. I know. And like also, I know it's like a real, I'm burning out doing fun things, but also you're still putting like a mad strain on your body.
Yeah.
I'm doing some heavy lifting.
Yeah,
and I'm
literally.
Yeah.
It is wild. But the moment like I think it went in the race was, I was saying to myself all through the 20 to 30K mark, I was like, I'm in and amongst it. I'm not out of it, but I'm in and amongst it. Like, I don't feel good and I don't think I've got another 22K in me, but I'm there. If I can get to 30K and I'm like, my time is calm, then great. But the problem is I got to 30K and my time was calm, but I wasn't calm. And I was like, there's absolutely no way I can hold this any longer. It was almost like that finish line was there.
Yeah.
So it was like the 30K mark was the finish line. I was like, right, I just basically needed to do 12K in an hour, which is so doable.
No, but I do this the whole time as well. So I basically, I'll get to each checkpoint, usually every 5K. after 25K, I will look at my watch and be like, okay, so I've done a 25K in X amount of time. What's my PB? 219. Okay, how much time do I have now between 219? And like, I have there's a range where I'm like, it's respectable if I yeah. don't PB. So usually, I know that's so stupid to say, but it's usually between my PB and like plus 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and that gets smaller the quicker you get, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
And so I'd be like, okay, so I've got 10K left. I've got 32 minutes to yeah. get it, right? So I'm like, okay, this is tough, but I've got 36 minutes to play with maybe. And then I remember in Berlin, I was looking at my watch and I was like, the last 15 to 20K,
yeah.
I was like, today feels like a 222 day. I'll be really happy with that. When we're getting into the 23s, I'm not going to be so happy. 24, I'm not going to be pleasant this afternoon. And I got to maybe 500 meters to go. And the maths was like, I was doing some terrible arithmetic in my brain, but I knew I had like a minute and a half
yeah.
to get like 500 meters before I like tipped over to 23. And I just like, I was like, okay, I'm going to bury myself here. Yeah. And I proper sprinted and I finished the line. And I'm not like, I don't usually throw up. That is not me. Like I've had some stomach issues before, but I've never thrown up after a race properly. For the next like 30 minutes, I was like projectiling. I had absolutely killed myself. And like the color of it was like unimaginable.
Bile?
Yeah, it was a lot of bile, I think.
Oh.
And this like German
family. Throwing out like a dog.
Literally. And this like German family came up to me and like gave me water. The mum gave me a hug. She felt so bad for me. And I was like, you don't want to go near me.
That's a motherly instinct.
Yeah, it was quite
cute. That's unreal. I think I had a similar sort of thing, you know, because with like 5K to go, I was very much like, right, let me say 10K to go. I was like, sub 320 would be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, 5 minutes has already gone off the thing. I was like, sub 320 would be great. But then I wasn't like, I didn't have the ability to kind of control myself to be like, right, if I want to get sub 320, I need to do X, Y, Z pace. I had no control over how fast I was going.
It's just what you could give.
And I said to myself at one point, I think it was about 3K to go. I was like, basically, one for a better word, told myself to stop being a little bitch. And I was just like, just run fast. Just try your race pace for once here. And I literally had this conversation. I was like, right, Callum, I said it out loud, bro. People must have thought I was mental. I said, just try your race pace. Just try it. And honestly, I was like, I tried it for about 400 meters. I was like, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. But I shit you not, those exact words left my mouth. And then I was like, right, okay, race pace isn't possible. Let's try like five something. I think I tried five on the nose, too fast, whatever, slow it down. And I was like, you know what, it's gone. I think my PB's even gone. Like, I might be getting slower than Paris here. So then in my head, I went to just sub 330. That is still like respectable. And then I was like, cool. And I see a woman hand out beers on the side. So I cut across the course going, I was like, beer? And she goes, yeah, beer. Gives me the beer, I neck the beer. I was like, you know what? I'm happy now
yeah.
because I've just like completely made the race in my head a bit of fun.
You've come to terms with the fact that you might not have achieved.
And exactly.
That's what happened to me at London this year. Like I had put so much effort in. I'd gone to Kenya, done all this shit and literally like such a loser. I'd spent three, four months just like planning for this
But the
day.
Thing is you used all your annual leave, but now it doesn't matter because you are a full-time influencer.
Yeah, content creator. And I just remember like walking about 36 kilometers in being like, okay, that it is what it is. I'm done. I had such a long time to just be like, I'm coming to terms with it. And I think sometimes you need a day.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was like 500 meters after I'd had that beer and I was like, I almost threw up a little bit, but I was all right. I got it down. But yeah, I was like to myself, actually was trying to do the maths. So I was like, PB's definitely still on.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. Try and like ramp myself up. And then I saw Maddie from Runner with like a K to go. And she starts saying, just full send it. Why wouldn't you? And I was like, Easier for you to fucking say.
Big shout out, Maddie. Yeah. Somebody's never done a marathon. Right there.
Yeah. And then I was just literally like, no, in my head, I was like, no, no, you're right. And I see up ahead the 800 meter mark. I was like, cool. I then see one of the UVU guys, Peter John. He was really struggling, bless him. He said to me he had COVID in the build ups, couldn't run for 4 weeks. So I think his race just slapped him in the face. And bless him, he was so nice. And we saw each other, went over the 800 meter mark. I then thought, fuck it. Two laps of the track, I can just put myself in the absolute bin here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just sprinted, and I had all these security guards, these American guys, go cow, go cow. And they were
they bring an energy. Which
yeah, they do.
London,
and they, they could see that I was absolutely like torturing myself.
You're doing a little Tommy Fury.
No arms were pumping, no, to be fair. Yeah, yeah. But some lad sent me a video of me coming around the final bed, and I thought I was going way faster than I was.
Look, it's humbling to watch yourself run, and I feel like I'm quick. When I'm running, I'm like, oh, yeah. And I look at videos, I'm like,
no.
Nah.
No.
Nah.
But I saw that finish line, I looked at my watch, and it just ticked over to 23.
Yeah.
So 3:23. And I was like, I've got 30 seconds to get from here to here. Not 30 seconds, but I've got my PB is 55, yeah. So 23:55. So I needed to basically get there in under 50 seconds. And I just absolutely, I canned it. I think it went up to like a 3 pace or something at that
just
last
proper.
Bit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pumping the arms, and then got over the line at, my official chip time was 3 hours, 23 minutes and 21 seconds.
And you know why that's important? Because no one gives a fuck about your Strava time.
Yeah, exactly. Mate, I know who uses Strava as as their time. No, I agree, and I'm not a fast guy as well, mate.
I'm so rattled by it. Don't lie. It's it's just blatant lying. It's literally blatant lying.
Yeah. Like the thing is as well, okay, look, I understand someone can be really proud of an achievement because they've got in and amongst the time, but then when you say you've got a goal, because Strava's told you have when you haven't, that's when it's like, well, you know, you didn't, unfortunately, because the marathon is the perfect measurement of the course.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
The race line is 42.2 if you're not on it the whole time. And that's a privilege for me. I always get super close because I don't have that many people running around me.
I didn't actually see a race line in Chicago. There was one, but I couldn't see it because there's so many people.
That's the thing. And then also the GPS is all off. And so you're going to have a weird number anyway on Strava. It like... just use chip time.
Yeah.
They're literally officially recording it. It's like entering the London Marathon as a championship time and being like, oh, but my Strava told me I did a marathon at the pace you need. It's like,
so what?
So what? The race organizer didn't think that. So it's like I did Brighton Marathon, the first ever marathon I did. The course was 600 meters long, officially.
Sorry?
Yeah, so they got the course length wrong.
It was too long or too short?
No, too long.
Oh, shit,
they added, because I remember looking at my watch being like, everyone told me your watch is going to be long, right? It's going to say it's 42. Yeah. My watch was saying 43.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's too long. And then I finished at 43.5K. And I was like, hang on.
And 600 meters is a long old way as well, by the way.
And I remember just like running it and being like, this is my first marathon. This feels long. And then they put a public apology out.
No.
But you know what happened? Nothing. That's my time. It was 3:03. That's it. Like, it doesn't matter what my Strava says.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have got sub 3 if it was...
No, I wouldn't know.
No.
It'd have been like 3.
There would have been some people there that got like 3 hours and 20 seconds or something.
That's such a tough break. Yeah. Yeah.
But talking about tough breaks, mate, we'll park Chicago for a bit.
Okay.
You won a big ultra in Jordan. You are a madman.
I'm going to caveat this by saying Ultra X is a fantastic organization.
You've got to be careful now.
No. They are. And their events are wonderful. And the Wadi Rum, which is where the desert I was running in Jordan, is apparently a very beautiful place.
Why'd you say apparently?
I didn't look up. You know what? Sometimes people need to tell me to touch grass. I'm such a competitive...
Touch sand.
Touch sand. I'm such a competitive bastard, honestly. So there's basically going out there. The event is called Ultra X Jordan. Mm-hmm. I would actually recommend it to people.
Yeah.
Just to caveat this.
It looked cool.
Okay, it looks unreal. It looks unreal.
Yeah.
And the scenery is stunning. However, they told me, they were like, there's a guy called Salome who's won it 8 years in a row. He's won it 8 years and he's won every single time it's ever been put on. Okay. So they were like, we brought another guy called Fazari out here from Tanzania. Okay. No, he was from Rwanda. And both of us are like, he was like a 222 guy, marathon runner, but he did that in Rwanda. Altitude, hilly. This guy was incredibly fit. So they brought me and him out there to basically try and challenge Salome. This guy had won it 8 years in a row. They kind of wanted to change it up, you know? And so first day, get there. We get bussed out on the buses, like into the desert, set up camp. And when I say it's like an open air tent.
Yeah.
And I was incredibly underprepared. I was lying on a Sports Direct like raw mat, super cheap.
It's great for recovery. Well, that
great for everyone else had so many big like pump up raw mats, like big sleeping bags, really nice pillows.
So you had to bring all of your own stuff,
all your food, all your sanitary wipes. There was no, you know, there weren't showers or proper toilets.
You must have been hanging, bro.
And I've learned a valuable lesson. I like suffering. But I like to be, I'm bougie as well. Like, I like a nice bed.
Yeah, you are bougie, to be fair.
I don't want to sleep on a roll mat. And so the first night, lying on it wasn't sand as well, where we were camped.
Was it hard?
It was very hard.
Because you have to run on it, so I imagine.
Oh, no. With running, we were running on sand.
Really?
It was like Juni.
How do you run a sub 4 minute pace in the sand, mate?
I put my head down, terrible sleep, like, we maybe got 3 hours. And to avoid the sun and the real heat, because also some people here, like, it's a really accessible ultra. Like, all the ultras they do, is it's all about inclusivity.
Yeah.
Some people walk it. Okay, so on the long day, it was 60 kilometers. Some people took longer that day than I did for the whole 220 kilometers.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, so okay, right. I want to talk about your stats though. So yeah, go on.
So yeah, so we start out first day, it's 40 kilometers, just nice 40 kilometers to start out with. And it was a complete false sense of like reality because it was all downhill the first 20 kilometers and on quite compact sand. I was like, oh, is this what it's going to be like? This is unbelievable. Like I could do some damage here. Mm. Fazari, again, also thinks this. We do our first half marathon and it's a desert ultra in 120.
Sorry?
Yeah.
Right. You did a half marathon in 1 hour and 20 minutes on sand.
Yeah. And we were flying. And then the second half, then the sand started to be sand.
Yeah.
And it was like proper.
Like your feet were sinking into it.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And it was all uphill. It was like 600 meters of elevation just uphill for the next 20 kilometers. And that's when I lose my hearing when I know I'm really struggling.
Yeah.
And I lost it about 30K and I had another 10K to go. And it was so, at this point, it was about 35 degrees.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, why am I here? What am I doing? And this Rwanda guy.
Get me back to the zone.
Yeah. This like Rwanda guy, Fazari, was just on my shoulder the whole time, just there.
Did you guys chat?
Well, he barely spoke English and speak the French dialect of Rwanda.
You need to get your language up, bro.
Yeah. And so he was very nice, like a lovely guy. We had a couple of conversations, but very like, and it was so depressing. He had nothing. Like they had flown him out and he was meant to have been provided like food and everything and gels. It was meant to be like funded by someone. And it wasn't. They basically just kind of didn't fund
him. So he rocks up to Jordan with
literally
nothing.
No gels. And so the camp like got together and like gave him loads of stuff, but still not enough. This guy was just carrying a water bottle.
Oh, mate, that's so bleak.
And smashing it. Like, it was crazy. It was unbelievable to watch. Like a proper, proper athlete. And but that meant the whole week, me and him were just running alone out front. Just him on my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So I just never felt comfortable. And I was just always looking down at the ground, 2 feet in front of me, just killing myself.
Wait, so where was the other guy then? There was three of you in the mix.
Well, Salome, it turns out we roasted him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we burnt him.
Wash guy.
Like, he's nearly 60 as well.
Oh, well, of course.
Yeah. So I didn't feel good about it.
And well done, he's 14.
Yeah. Like, he... he, like, fair play to him. He did his the same times as he's done the last 8 years. It's just we beat, in the end, I beat him by like 4 hours.
Okay. Yeah, it's not a short amount of time, is it?
It was quite a long time. Yeah. And then I beat Fazari by 15 minutes.
Wow, bro, that's but amazing.
Over 220 kilometers.
So basically they took whoever had the shortest time from every stage.
Every stage, yeah. So you were trying to...
You won all but the first?
I won the first and then he won the second, but it was a sprint finish.
Was it?
Yeah, and it was so funny. He had kind of died a little bit up the last hill. And then, like, with 200 meters to go, I just see him right next to me. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? And then he just sprints it through. And I was like, mate, we have so long to go. There is no point doing a sprint finish here. I was like, you have it. You go for it. And he got, like, 3 seconds on me. And I was like, that's not worth it. That what you've just done has...
Yeah.
You're getting nothing from
that. Yeah, yeah. That's so funny. You posted a video, actually, which got me.
Oh, that.
You caught me, bro.
I caught so many people.
So, Hugo uploads a video of him being, like, limped over the finish line by the stewards.
Yeah.
And I messaged him going, mate, you okay? Because I was like, this bloke from Notting Hill, cushy little house... Rocks up to the desert thinking he's hot stuff, just passes out first race, first event stage. And then I thought you actually were hurt. Yeah. And then you were like, nah, mate, I'm all good. Just bait.
So bait. And it got 500K views. So bait. So bait. And like, I did a job for Ultra X. I was like,
well, yeah.
Also, to be fair, it has done like phenomenally for socials.
Mate, it's done really well.
Like, so good.
Yeah.
Which is a problem as well because.
Is it?
Yeah, because it meant now it's like, oh, got to keep doing this shit.
Right, got you.
You know?
And then, no, you should just do what stuff that makes you happy. You like you went to that event to challenge yourself and thought, I'll give this a go.
Yeah.
And people resonated with that.
On the Saturday, though, the guy who owns Ultra X messaged me going, where do you want to go next? And I was like, give it a rest. You know what I want to do? I want to go and sit in a nice hotel. And you know, that's what I did. We booked a bougie-ass hotel. I had a Turkish bath. Like, it was a whole thing. And they like, I've never been so clean in my life.
Really?
Yeah. I was still finding sand in my hair though. The conditions were, look.
Mate, I have so much respect. If I could not do that.
If you want a nice, chilled holiday, don't do the event like this. But if you want to challenge yourself, have an amazing experience. Also, some of the people I met were unbelievable.
Mm.
Like, so what they were doing to them, I was underprepared in terms of what I took.
Yeah.
But very prepared in terms of my training because I do so much volume.
Mm-hmm.
The number of people who rocked up and had literally never run a marathon, wild. And like people were dying, hurting on day one.
Did many people DNF?
10 maybe.
Really?
Out of 100. So like, you know, there's not loads of people doing it either, but people would be like bandaged up. Like I had so many, like the blister situation.
Mm.
They had a big medical team and those doctors saw some things.
I bet.
Oh my God, disgusting.
Mm.
And also it just isn't like, it's pretty hygienic, but it's not like...
Essentially everyone there is dragging themselves to the pits of hell for 5 days.
Yeah, proper.
And fair play.
And some people are like, walking every day in the... I actually thought it was harder to do what they were doing than what I was doing.
What was more time on your feet?
I was finishing at 10, 11 o'clock in the morning.
And then having the rest of the day just chill. The rest of the day
just to eat, refuel. Some people would literally... We'd start the long stage, which was 60 kilometers. If you had done a certain time, you started an hour later. But for most people, they started at 4 a.m. People weren't getting back until like 6 p.m. You've walked through the whole day in the baking heat and it was just so exposed.
Yeah.
There was these Belgium guys, so jokes. They were like mid-50s and one of them wore a kilt the whole time. Yeah.
He's Belgian. He's not even Scotland.
I don't know why. I didn't ask him. I should have probably asked him.
Yeah.
It was so
context
reason.
Really important. Yeah,
I don't know why he did it, but anyway, it was funny. And him and his two mates, the tan lines on those guys.
Really?
I've never seen anything like it. They looked like they were wearing white t-shirts. They'd take their shirts off each night and it would be literally like a different skin color.
Oh, mate.
Wild.
That's so cool, man, that you did that. Yeah. So over the whole kind of event, 5 days, you did it in what time?
So I did 200 and Koros put it all together, kind of did me dirty. It's 220 kilometers, let's just say that. It was a bit shorter, but I did it in 16 hours, 19 minutes.
Okay.
So 220 kilometers in 16 hours, 19 minutes, which is an average pace of...
You got that.
Which is an average pace of 432s per kilometer.
mate.
Average heart rate of 154 beats per minute. Elevation game.
Sorry, that heart rate's a joke. In the sun.
Can I just say, you've
just ran for 5 days what I was trying to do for one marathon and bonked. Mate, I have so much respect,
with
man.
2,500 meters of elevation.
Oh, yeah, just a little bit then.
Yeah. I was a little broken.
Yeah.
But it was nice to not also be, like, what is nice is they wanted me to put content out, so they gave me access to Starlink.
Oh, sick.
Which was great. But also, I was very much like, everyone else here doesn't have any access to internet. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it was so funny. The one day, one of the girls got back in and she was like, guys, it was amazing. I got some signal. So all these messages came in when she was like 35 kilometers in, being like, keep going. And like, that's really sweet. But everyone else had no access to internet. So I thought, and I know some people go out and do these things to avoid, like, it's good to get offline.
So you didn't want to just be sat there on your phone with, like,
messages and stuff. So I basically told my family, I don't have access to internet. They're posting for me.
Oh,
so
cool.
I told everyone that I was like, they're posting for me.
You didn't tell me that. You just didn't say anything.
I just ignored everyone. But it was nice.
I was messaging you and you were replying. So I just didn't even think about the signal thing.
So I'd like get signal for like an hour a day, maybe.
Yeah.
And then just post my stuff, reply to a couple of messages.
Yeah.
If you actually, people who are like, are you actually okay?
Yeah. People who actually give a shit.
Yeah. And then just like log off. And it was actually, because I spend way too much time on my phone.
Yeah, we all do.
Yeah. And it was nice. There was so much free time. So you got to know people really well.
Did you do any soul searching?
Nah.
You've not found anything else
I've
new
not
about
found
yourself.
Anything.
Yeah.
No, nothing.
No.
Niche.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Just keep throwing the kitchen sink at it and run more.
I just know I can hurt myself.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Every time I do these things, I just know I can hurt myself well. And that's it's giving me a collection. It's giving me more evidence.
Yeah.
That every time I do something, and I'm so competitive, every time I'm racing someone, I know I probably will be, unless they're just like way better than me.
Yeah.
I probably will be able to outdo them because I'm.
No, your mindset is insane. Talking of mindset, I just want to discuss what's next. So obviously I know what you've got coming up in December, but I'm trying to think what marathon I want to do next to try and set my PB. And I want to kind of hear your opinion as to where you think I should race next.
For me, I think there's different races for different types of challenges.
Yeah.
Depends what you want to do. If it's like a personal best, just like that's your whole aim, you want to do a 3:15, a 3, whatever it is, you got to be tactical with where you do it.
Mm.
I think there's a couple. So I've done 18 now. And like, I think I've done maybe 12, 13 in different locations. Obviously, if you want to do it fast, you go to Chicago, Berlin, or Valencia.
Yeah.
Are the three big ones.
Yeah, for flat.
Unless you can time qualify, obviously Chicago, but this is if general population, Chicago, Berlin, hard to get into.
Yeah.
Like really hard. Valencia is easier, but it costs a fortune.
Yeah.
It's 180 quid for a resale.
I almost entered it last year for this year.
Yeah, you can get a resale super easily though. It's actually such a good system. I don't know why more races don't do it. You basically have a resale platform and you can change your bib name and everything. But also it's like going to Valencia and doing it, it's very intense because no one is there to fuck around.
No.
People take it way too seriously.
Valencia Marathon is the PB course.
It's just crazy. And actually I found Berlin way more chilled. Valencia, you go there and like no one is having fun. It's just like PB. So I don't know if it's the best environment.
Don't know if I want to wait until next December, to be honest.
So a couple of ones that I love, I'm obsessed with, Copenhagen.
Yeah. I would say that's one of the top on my list.
It's honestly, I love the city. Mm. The course is flat. Everyone's super chilled. The organization's great and it's a lot smaller.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait around for eight, like when you do like a London marathon or a big major, you're there at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, and whereas
I got up at 4 a.m. and I was at the starting area for like 5:45.
It's crazy. Yeah. Like that's so if you want to do something a bit more chilled, if you want a nice trip away, not to PB, well, you might PB, but it's not necessarily what you go there for. Go do Florence Marathon.
Florence
is the maddest marathon. It is stunning. Because you get to go and see the most, you run like over Ponte Vecchio Bridge, all around the most amazing scenic places, and like no tourists.
Yeah, but I kind of, I'm like, for me, like if I'm doing a marathon, I want it to, I want to be able to get something from crowds when I need it. Like in Chicago at the end, like the crowds all the way were amazing. Like going through the sort of like frat villages, I guess you could call them. I mean, honestly, it was 18K in. It wasn't even 18K. I saw my family for the second time just after 15K. And this was before I saw my family. By the way, my American family came out to watch me, which is sick. So my aunt, uncle, and one of my cousins live in New York. And other one lives in Chicago. Oh. So all four of them watched with Izzy. And it was sick.
That's class.
So it was really nice spending time with them. But so I was going through a frat village, like just near Lakeview, if you know the area. And I see this guy wearing split shorts. Like he looked a serious runner, skinny, like looked rapid, being held in the air by all these frat people downing a keg.
That's such a vibe.
At like 14K.
The Americans like do bring out like, the ones I've done in America, so unbelievable. I think Barcelona would be a good one as well.
Yeah, Barcelona,
very flat,
I've heard it's good.
Good atmosphere.
I want to try and do Barcelona half this year.
Yeah, it's the, I PB'd that. It's rapid. And then if you want like, thing is, my best achievements at New York. I didn't PB there, but it's a hard course. But like the atmosphere is crazy.
Yeah,
it's a really good run.
No, it's definitely on the agenda.
And then also, I wouldn't. If you want a PB, I don't rate London.
No,
I don't meet many people who have.
London's got that mystique about it, hasn't it? Yeah. It's like it's not a hilly course by any means, but no one really ever has like the race of their life there.
Yeah,
unless you're Cole, obviously.
Oh yeah, that guy was on crack. That was actually the mad. He ran past me, and I was like, oh, that guy's in shit.
Bye, Cole.
Yeah, I was like, bye. I'm walking. There's like, to be honest, unless you're going to, like, there's a few courses where I'd be like, you're not probably going to PB.
Yeah.
But most places now, it's class. The setups are great. Like, people, the whole organization of
the PB for me, the course isn't for me about whether it's a PB course. I think it's more for me now at the level I'm at is getting myself to a place where I feel confident going into any race. Yeah. Right. So now, okay, let's say I have the winter and have a good spring marathon block. I probably would say I was at the ability on Sunday, if I'd paced it correctly, of like a 318, 319. If I was to work hard over winter, do you think sub 3 would be possible in spring? Honestly, I want your honest thoughts here.
It depends on what you want.
Hypothetically, I'm upping my mileage from peak weeks of close to 70 to close to 90.
Yeah.
I stay injury free. I fuel well. I don't have any issues with, you know, my body. I managed to drop a little bit of weight over the winter months to kind of get myself to a lot. I'm 86 kilos. I'm quite heavy. Yeah. So I want to drop to maybe like 82, that sort of weight.
Yeah.
Do you think it's possible if the chips align?
For sure.
Okay.
Honestly, if you look at someone also, like, it's a different physique, obviously, but like James Warnock.
Yeah.
He's a bigger guy, a lot of muscle mass.
James was telling me that for the first time in his adult life, he's dipped below 80 kilos, sacked off the gym stuff.
Yeah.
And then he obviously got 249.
249. So, and you just, there's so many examples now.
Yeah.
It's just dedication. Like, he put in loads of work for it and like he smashed it out of the park. Like, he was one of those guys.
He had an amazing race.
Yeah. And also it's like, you just need a day. Just need a day. And sometimes it's not, like, that's the thing. Like Berlin, I thought it was going to be my day because I trained really well for it. Was feeling like fit, just really hot. So that's it, you know, and you might get one of those days, and that's why you shouldn't say it as a reflection of your training, because sometimes it's just not your day. So I always say, like, yeah, it's possible, but also I've made too many races my life, and like when I haven't hit them, I've been like heartbroken.
This might sound really dumb as well. It might not to a lot of people actually, but for me, I'm like, if I set that goal too early before I'm actually probably ready to be there, I won't enjoy it as much because it's not part of the timeline. It's at the wrong place of the timeline. Does that make sense?
Also, like, I find when you start a block, when it says marathon pace, it's not a don't do your session at what you dream of doing your marathon pace at, because that will bite you in the ass, and also it will make you feel depressed. Like,
yeah,
it'll be so unmotivating. So you go out on January 1st and you're like, oh, first big session, you're doing 30K, you're trying to do like maybe 5, 10K marathon pace to see how it feels, feel terrible because you've had Christmas.
Mm.
And then you're like, oh no, I'm not there. I'm never going to be there. Start at like 4:30 and then next week, 4:20s, see how that feels. Then you do 4:15s and then, you know, 4:10s and you're like, okay, you're building something. Whereas like I do it all the time as well. I'll go out at marathon pace 10 weeks before my marathon and be like, I can't, how am I doing this for 42K? Also, like I find even in training, I'm like, I'll run a pace and be like, this is way too hot.
Yeah.
And you get there and, you know, it feels better way on the day. Or sometimes it doesn't.
No, for sure. I think it will be interesting to see how my training, because obviously when I don't have a race in the calendar, my brain kind of falls off a little bit, but I'm not going to let it this time. I'm going to be like, I'm having a few days off now and I'm very much going to be like, right, once I start back next week, I'm going to try and not train for anything, but just try and kind of be strategic in my training. Mm. I've got, to be fair, on my runner plan, I have like a plan that I can do to improve me without a race.
Just have structure. Do a couple of easy runs a week. Yeah. Do a longish run and then do some intervals.
Exactly.
It's literally not that deep.
No.
People like, it's just getting to good routine.
Yeah.
And also for me now, like I've got so much free time, and if I don't have like things in my day, which like split up, I just get so distracted.
Yeah.
And then it gets to 5 o'clock and I'm like, oh, I've done nothing today. Yeah.
What's your, so what's coming up for you? Talk about what you got in December. Actually, no, before that.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm doing a 50 miler in Texas, which I'm excited for. Sorry, I shouldn't. I appreciate, like, it's really cool to do, but I can't.
There's a chance you win it, I'm telling you.
Yeah, no, I'm struggling. This issue is, I'm struggling with a little injury. My hip flexor is quite fucked.
Have you been to see physio? No, of course. Oh, no, you're banned from all that, aren't you?
I've got this event is on the 1st of November, which is in 16 days.
Mm.
So like, if I go to physio and they're like, you can't run for 4 weeks, kind of ruins that plan. So if they don't tell me, but terrible advice, people don't listen to this, but if they tell me I can't
do it. So it's like putting your head in the sand.
It's head in, yeah, so far into the sand. So I'm going to Texas in next week on Friday.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what this is? I don't know if we'll put this in because
we've got 2 minutes left.
Okay. I'm doing a burrito mile next week.
Oh, with Burrito Monster. Yeah. Oh, unreal.
So we're doing half a burrito, to be fair, each lap. So we're having two full burritos over a mile.
Sick.
Yeah, it's going to be jokes. It's sponsored by Tilda.
Oh, mate, that is just a match made in heaven.
And then literally the next day, fly to Texas. I'm living my dream. I'm renting a Jeep Wrangler.
Oh.
Unreal. Going to Austin, Texas, just chilling there in an amazing Airbnb for a week.
Yeah.
And going to meet the BPN team, which is like my dream. Honestly, I've watched Nick Bear since like 2018. Mm. I love that guy. Like, he's like a proper idol.
Mate, it's so sick.
I'm going to be so cringe.
But you know what it is? I honestly think they'll love a character like yours. Genuinely,
I think I'll be weird. It'll be fun. I'll see what happens.
I think they'll be so fascinated by you as a character. Because everyone is. Like, Hugo Fry aura.
It's just
That's
odd.
What it is, bro.
It's odd. So yeah, doing that. And then I got another week afterwards in Texas because I thought, fuck it, I'm there.
Yeah.
I might go to Vegas because I used to live there. So I think maybe might pop over. And then come back, got like a month.
Sorry, before we get cut off, can you quickly explain why you still live in America? I don't know if you're allowed to talk about it.
Yeah. I work for a casino.
We will go into this next time because we've got to. We're going to be removed from the studio by bailiffs because we're about to exceed our booking slot. Okay. But thank you very much for watching. Best of luck at the 50 miler, mate.
Thank you. See you after.
Honestly, I'll see you after when you're a BPN athlete. Guys, manifest it. Everyone message Nick Bear and BPN, say there's an amazing guy currently racing the race called Hugo Fry and you want to sign him. Just say that.
Yeah, because I need also funding.
Look, thank you so much for watching. Apologies for the short episode this week, but I will catch you next week for another episode. Take care.